I'm gonna hear sloshing around that mint the entire time. Yeah. Yuck.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another exciting radical
Bossa Nova.
Chevy Nova episode of the Brothers Movie Factory. I'm your host, Ben. With me, as always, the brother of the Brothers Movie Factory.
T-U-R-T-L-E Power.
Turtle Power.
Yo, is the green machine gonna rock the town without being seen? Have you ever seen a turtle get down? Slam and jam to the new screen sound.
I think that's 10 seconds. Don't want to get sued.
Want to get sued?
Yes, everyone, I am back from my little 1 week hiatus. And I hope you enjoyed Gus's story time volume one, because there will be a volume two at some point.
Could be, never know. I can talk for hours.
What? So this week. It was interesting because we're recording earlier in the daytime. Usually we do our recordings at night. And then also, we were planning on doing a different movie, but then we both kind of decided, like, what, 5 minutes before we started to watch anything, we were like, the movie's long. Let's save that. Let's watch something else.
Ben's like, I got traveling to do. You got dates to go on. Let's not watch a 3 hour long movie.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay.
Yeah, so we ended up going with a shorter film. It took us a while to figure it out. We went with the 1990 classic Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, which you said is what, one of the most successful independent films of all time?
Oh, yeah. It was the financially most successful independent film for many, many, many years.
You know what blows me away, though? If you look it up, it's got like a 40% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Bullshit.
And like a 6 on IMDb.
What's the audience, though, ranking on Rotten Tomatoes?
I don't know. Why don't you keep talking there?
So, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles originally was a comic book, started in 1984, black and white, except for the headbands. They all had red headbands. Very gritty, very violent. And it wasn't until the late 80s that it became like so popular that they decided to make a cartoon about it.
80% audience score.
See, exactly.
Because they know what's right.
Yeah. They decided to make a cartoon about it for the kiddies. And it became, like, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles was a phenomenon. And they decided to adapt it into a live-action film as well.
They decided to do it with, like, everything. They're like, let's do beetles that turn into robots. Let's do rhinos that race cars.
Was that a thing?
I don't know. There's one with, like, animals that race cars or something.
Yeah. Street sharks.
Street sharks.
I was all about them. Street sharks.
Yeah. Yeah. Gargoyles.
Where's the Street Sharks movie?
Where's the Street Sharks Funkos?
Yeah. So, what's interesting, though, is when they were looking for studios to distribute and finance this film, the producers, they reached out to, like, every movie company you can think of, from Disney to Warner Brothers, all of them. They all turned it down because of the failure of previous comic book movies. And Ninja Turtles, yes, was very popular, but it didn't have, like, the legacy of, like, a Batman or Superman. And it wasn't under the veil.
Batman had just come out, though.
Yeah, like,
be running high.
Well, it had just come out, but this is kind of, like, they're still talking about putting it together before Batman came out.
Oh, okay.
But Superman came out, but it wasn't under the veil of, like, DC.
Yeah.
Right? This is under, I can't remember, a lesser-known comic book company, even though, like I said, Ninja Turtles were popular. So, yeah. And it was because of the failures of, in particular, Warner Brothers passed on it because of He-Man, Masters of the Universe, was such a financial failure as far as a live-action movie went.
So, Mirage Studios.
Thank you, Mr. And.
And.
Anytime like there's a little factoid that gets popped up. Thank you, Mr.
Anderson.
Mr. Anderson. So yeah, that's leading up to the creation of this movie. So they're like, fuck it, I'll do it myself.
Whoa.
They Thanos'd it. Thanos'd?
Rumor has it that the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles actually... Yeah, Thanos.
Thanos.
That's what Ant-Man's going to go up at. Thanos is Thanos.
Up is Thanos and expand.
Yeah.
We'll find out this coming week. We're going to see her.
Yes. I'm already crying. Woke up today, I'm like, my hair.
Who's gonna kill Thanos? Thanos.
Raphael. Splinter. Yeah. He's gonna have him like the Infinity Gauntlet with nunchucks, and he's gonna drop him into a garbage disposal. Give him the jackhammer.
Bonesaw's ready.
Bonesaw is ready. I think they're just all gonna kill Thanos. This is my bold prediction. They're gonna get them all back. Like, all the heroes. There's going to be a shot of, like, Thanos standing there, and then the other end is just all the Marvel heroes ready to just...
I think they're all going to hold their hands up and give their energy to Goku, and he's going to spirit bomb them. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I could see that.
Goku confirmed?
Goku confirmed for Smash. Thanos joins the battle. Thanos snaps out the competition.
Whoa. That'd be his final smash.
He just snaps and everyone fades away. It's the only kill. Smash in the game that's an instant kill.
Hey, Marth, take it easy. Sometimes.
Sometimes he kills himself. Marth does. And Smash Brothers. But yes, this movie... It's a lot of fun. It was kind of funny because neither of us had seen it in a long time, and roommate Matt came down, and he never watches movies, but he's a little under the weather today, so he might have just been feeling like just laying there. But
he was just laying there, but he said he couldn't get up, so he decided to watch it.
Yeah, and he watched the whole film, which is odd because never watches the whole film. But it was funny because this movie is really good, and I was like, is this movie even good? And you're like, it is to me.
It's one of my fave superhero films.
Yeah, it is different. What's awesome, though, all right, so there was a recent remake, Michael Bay.
Producer. And they made two of them, motherfuckers.
Yeah, it was, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and then Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Out of the Shadows. Starring Seamus and Cesaro.
Both of those. Did you watch any of them?
No.
Yeah, they're.
Why would I?
They're bad.
Oh yeah.
I couldn't do it. I tried. I tried watching it. I was just bored.
Because it's Michael Bay.
Well, it's not. He just produced it, but it's the fact that they're all CGI garbage.
Huge too.
They're huge. I just didn't like them.
These ones though, like I noticed, I thought these suits looked legit, and all the effects were really good for being an independent picture. And the music.
Well, do you know why those suits looked legit?
Because they were real turtles.
No, Jim Henson, Creature Shop, put them motherfuckers together.
Well, that's why. Yep. I thought they were just real.
It was one of Jim Henson's last big projects before he passed away. And he said they were some of the most complicated of his whole career. Being that they're stunt martial artists in suits... on the outside, and then the head that goes on was animatronic, and just the way it all worked out. Yeah,
that was one thing I noticed, difficult. Is they were, like, flipping around, and they never looked clunky.
No.
Like, they were able to, like, pull off some moves. Like, I was thinking the entire time, like, all right, 1989, Batman came out, and that's something that people always say. It's like, he's so stiff in that
Can't move his head.
Yeah, but it doesn't even feel like he's not, like... karate chopping the hell out of people in that movie, but in this one, like, they were fluently moving, and it looked good. It never looked choppy or kind of like slow or anything. They were going
quick. It didn't look like they were wearing suits.
No,
if you ask me, and that could be just because I, grew up with this movie.
I mean, I don't think that's a factor because a lot of times, how many times have you watched a movie and you're like, oh, this looks rough?
Yeah,
like even like when we went back and watched Dragonheart, we're like, he's okay, a little dated.
Yeah, roommate Matt, who's 25, 26, has never seen this movie.
He's like, those are real turtles.
he liked it, he said. He said he liked it, which I was surprised because he hates everything.
It was a good movie. Yeah, had to get some pizza.
Yeah, we got turtles. They like their pizza.
They like their pizza.
No anchovies. You put anchovies on that dude, you're going to be in big trouble.
Those are IOUs.
My favorite line in this whole movie, can you guess what it is? Has to do with pizza. You won't get it.
Pizza guy has 30 seconds.
Pizza dude's got 30 seconds.
That's what I tweeted.
Did
actually,
you?
That it's the gif I used in our tweet this week.
Sweet, that's my favorite. I quote that all the time. I don't know why.
Anytime you get pizza, 30 seconds, just like anytime
just in
you
life.
Get takeout. Oh, okay.
Just like I wake up.
Never woke up.
I go to take a shit. Yep. Pizza dude's got 30 seconds. Forgiveness is divine, but never pay full price for late pizza.
2 minutes late.
Gandhi said that.
Gandhi did say that. Be the change you wish to see in the world. And never pay for late pizza.
Full price for late pizza. Yes, got a little Zaw action to start our day. Watch some Ninja Turtles. It's starting off fine.
Yeah. Yeah. That early morning. Mitch.
Did you listen last week by chance?
What if the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles? I did. But what if the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles were in Pittsburgh? And they had, instead of like the New York.
I lost a sigh.
Yeah, they'd be like, ah, jeez.
Lost a sigh, you jag off.
Damn.
Ah, jeez. Jeez.
We're going out of the shadows.
Instead of cowabunga, they would say ghostellers.
Ghostellers. Penguins need change of management now that you're out of the playoffs. First time this early since 2006.
Really?
Yeah. They got swept. Penguins did.
Great. Yeah. We suck again.
By the New York Islanders. So here we are talking about New York.
I'm a big hockey fan, though.
I know you're a big sports fan in general.
Sports.
You only watch real sports? WWE?
WWE and PGA.
And EA Sports. It's in the game. Yeah?
If what you say is true, you've earned my trust.
Thanks, Mace. I digress. I don't think that fit there, but whatever.
I had I won't say he's a buddy. He's just some bloke, some bloke I know. He messaged me. He's like, I listened to your 7 podcast. I kind of like the idea, but you guys just are all over the place. I'm like, yeah, that's the fucking point.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty much. If you've gone this far,
I mean, that's when we started doing these podcasts. We were like, this podcast is how my brother and I talk in general.
Pretty much. Like, this is like a phone call.
Yeah.
This is like what it is almost on a daily basis.
Like, we will hit 20 subjects in no particular order.
I've had a friend say before, he's like, I tried to listen to you guys, but I felt like you were just having a conversation in the car with me, and I couldn't participate, so I got bored. I was like, what the hell?
That's what a podcast is sometimes.
Oh, well. Ah, oh, jeez.
Ah, jeez!
All right, so getting into this film, it is, it's a lot of fun. It starts out real good, explaining kind of what's going on in New York City. Good shot of the city, you get to see the Twin Towers, which is always, I don't know why, I guess it's just because we lived through that event, but seeing, like, the Twin Towers in a shot, it's always, like, almost weird. Like, mm-hmm. You're like, those aren't there anymore. But yeah, it's explaining this. There's this rampant crime spree going on. A lot of people are getting thefted. Theft is happening to them.
These people are getting thieved.
It's ruined. But
getting robbed.
Yes. Yes. That's a good word. They should make a word for getting theft.
They're getting theftified.
They're getting things stolen from them. And no one knows. Like, it's happening very quick. There's some really cool scenes. Like, you know, a delivery driver, like, getting a package out of his truck, walking over, delivering the package, and then walking right back to his truck, and his whole truck is cleaned out.
Yeah.
Like, things like that, where people are having things stolen from them really, really quick, while April O'Neil, the famous news reporter from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, is kind of going over this on the air and explaining, this is what's happening. No one knows what's happening. Only some people have seen, like, kids running away from the scene and stuff like that, but other than that, it's like all these things are being stolen all throughout the city and
being thieved upon
theftified justified. Whoa. And yeah, April finishes up her little get and
that's
keeps
a get.
Yeah, and
she's basically saying that she's calling out the city, saying like there's all these horrible thieveries going on, and no one seems to be able to see what's happening. And it harkens back to something similar that's happened in Japan years and years and years ago. It seems like the New York police aren't doing anything about it. Cutting to going down in the sewers. Oh, no, that's not yet, is it? No, it's not yet. Cut to April O'Neil leaving work, walking to her shitty van, and getting attacked by some gang members.
Sam Rockwell.
Yes. And the Ninja Turtles save the day. Make the save.
Make the old savey poo.
Cut to title.
Yeah, they. It's good because like Raphael loses his sigh.
Lost the sigh.
And April picks it up, so she knows something. Like someone came to her rescue, but she has no clue who. And
something's afoot.
Yeah. Something's afoot, Clan. It cuts to the sewer, and the turtles are kind of going to meet up with old Master Splinter. And yeah, you get your first taste of them being teenagers, kind of. They're, what do they say, like
radical,
gnarly,
Bossa Nova,
huh? Chevy Nova? Then
righteous.
Yeah, they just being teenager surfer dudes, kind of deal. Yeah. And yeah, they meet up with Master Splinter, and he's like a very wise old Yoda rat.
Yoda rat.
If you could have a pet, and it was either Yoda, like crazy Yoda, though, like Dagobah, first time you meet Yoda, or
Slimy
Master Splinter.
I'd have to take Splinter, because Yoda be crawling in all my shit.
Kind of want that.
His little flash, like, mine! Mine!
Oh, R2, let him have it.
Let him have it. See?
There we are.
No matter where you're at.
There you are. But, yeah, so Master Splinter's very wise old rat, explaining to them, you know, they've taken their first steps into being ninjas, and they have to remain in the shadows and never reveal to anyone. Even people that might be their ally can't be trusted, because they will never understand the way of the ninja.
He's just trying to teach him everything he knows, because one day I will be gone.
Yes. And yeah, then Raph goes out to see a movie, and
is that all right with you?
They order. Yeah. They order pizza, and pizza guy got 30 seconds.
Pizza dude
got 30 seconds, and they get the pizza. Raph's out a movie. He witnesses he goes see what? Critters. Go see Critters.
Why not? Where do they come up with this stuff?
And then he ends up stopping a robbery.
A thievery.
The thieves run away, but they get met by Casey Jones, another very famous character from the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles world.
Describe his look.
He looks kind of like Wayne Gretzky on steroids.
Okay, I got a good visual.
You got a good visual? Maybe like Jason Voorhees, but less fucked up.
He's got that classic hockey mask, the long hair. He's carrying weapons like hockey sticks and cricket bats and baseball bats. That's Casey Jones. He's vigilante.
Vigilante.
The New Yorker vigilante. And where the remake fucking failed, they had a great actor who would have been perfect for Casey Jones, but they just... Is it Josh Amell? Who is Green Arrow?
Stephen Amell.
I'm thinking Josh Duhamel. Sorry. Yeah. Stephen Amell, who's Green Arrow on the CW show. Like, great action actor.
Does like all his stunts,
and this is just being a purist, but in those movies he's got a shaved head and he wears a hockey mask for like 10 seconds, then he takes it off and never wears it again.
Sounds about right. They're like, we got to get his face everywhere.
Yeah.
Ah, move the table.
Why'd you Voldemort yell?
No.
But yeah, I like Casey Jones's intro here. I like his character. He's just kind of like the smart aleck New Yorker, and yeah, him and Raphael kind of get into it and have a little fighty poo.
Scuffle. But it's almost like in jest, like they're joking the entire time and fighting each other. It is good. And
Jose Canseco bat, tell me, you didn't pay money for this.
They end up fighting. They go, Casey Jones runs away from the fight after he knocks old Raff into a garbage can, and he chases after him. And you hear Gus said the third best scream in
cinema.
Yeah.
Come back here. I ain't finished with you. Damn.
Yeah. Which isn't. I think Voldemort's scream when he blows up all the Transformers. Is it weird that like every time I do the Voldemort scream, I hope like somewhere Transformer blows? Like,
no. If I was ranking real screams, I wouldn't put that one number three. But you said it earlier, Luke saying no. That's a good number three.
Oh yeah.
Number one.
What about Darth Vader when he finds out Padme?
No.
I felt it. She was alive.
No, number one is Marv from Home Alone. Putting that spider on his face. It can't be mimicked.
It can't be mimicked because it would break the mics.
It'll blow up the mics. That, and then second best scream is Marv from Home Alone 2 when he's getting electrocuted.
Mm-hmm. Also in New York. What if the Turtles made an appearance in Home Alone 2? He would have been safe.
I'm sure they're there somewhere.
They are. With Bird Lady. Well, they keep on going with the movie,
Yeah, that's what I was saying earlier. Did you watch last week? Because I kept Jimmy Stewart alive.
Good. Good, Anakin, good. No one's really ever dead.
No one's ever really gone.
I can't do a Palpatine laugh, can you? So the movie keeps on driving forward, and we're kind of introduced to the Foot Clan, being this group of ninjas that are also kids.
Ninjas that steal bullshit from everyone, and then they all bring it to this warehouse. So it's just like a pleasure island.
Pleasure Island from Pinocchio.
It's basically Pleasure Island from Pinocchio. Just kids, teenagers, with all the stolen shit, skateboarding all over the place, smoking cigarettes, drinking Mountain Dew, playing arcade games, everything
stolen. Eating Whoppers.
Yeah.
Strategically placed Whopper.
Roommate Matt looked over and he's like, this place is fucking cool.
Like, I want to live there.
Yeah. Got any cigarettes?
Looks like Southside in Pittsburgh.
Yeah. Looks like games and that. Got any cigarettes? Regular or menthol? Sam Rockwell.
Sam? So they're kind of getting the idea that these ninjas are training these kids to basically be little thieves, but also be like ninja warriors as well. Mm-hmm. To fight for them and be their foot soldiers, if you will.
You get introduced to the villain here too, right?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Well, April O'Neil, the reporter, has been reporting basically that this Foot Clan might be afoot. They might be the cause of these things, and he gets upset. Shredder does, and he says,
"Silence her! Find her! Silence her!"
And meanwhile, her boss, April O'Neil's boss, his son, has been getting into trouble because he is part of this Foot Clan. Learning to steal, and he was caught. So the police chief is getting sick of April O'Neil basically calling on him to do his job. So he has a deal with the dad that he won't press any charges on this guy's son if he gets April O'Neil off the case. But then, meanwhile, the Foot Clan does attack April O'Neil. She is knocked unconscious this time, but Raph happens to be there to save her. He saves her. And
Jason Bourne's her.
Yeah, Jason Bourne's her.
Train goes by, just disappears.
Yeah, disappears into the train, takes her to his hideout. But one of the Foot Clan members follows him.
Jeez. I'll fight anybody, guy.
Follows him to their hideout, and they end up taking April O'Neil home. April has a mini freak out, Splinter does explain. Yeah, he was trained. He grew up as a pet to a famous ninja in Japan, and he had to come to New York. And one day in the sewers, when he was scavenging, he found these four baby turtles. Yeah, crawling in some goo, some ooze, if you will. And he picks them all out, but also gets the ooze on him. And they all, the next day, they double in size, and they start to grow, and then they start to talk. And you know, you got Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
That's all you need.
That's heavy.
I like that little exposition scene, the way it was told, like in the flashback. But like, he's like, I found four turtles and I gave them each a name. Leonardo, Michelangelo, that's me. And he like pokes into the flashback and stuff. Like, I like that kind of thing.
Yeah, it was good. So it's kind of, you get that idea of like, where did they come from? Because even I would never ask like, well, where did they come from? Because I kind of knew, but like Matt was like, were they always like this? Were they just like born that way?
Just watch, it'll all be explained.
Yeah.
All will be revealed in the secret of the ooze.
Yeah, it's Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2 in the sequel. So they take April back to her apartment, and they're doing a lot of impressions and
they're
eating
becoming
pizza.
Friends.
Yeah, friends, allies. But then they have to go back to the sewer, and they go back and realize that Splinter has been taken. He's gone. They don't know what happened to him, and their whole home has been destroyed. So they go back to old AP Poo's house, and hang out with her. Sad scene. Splinter.
Yeah, it puts a little lump.
Puts a little lump in your chest.
Yeah, gave me a
little indigestion.
It blocked one of my arteries. Yeah. I'm so sad. But yeah, and then that's really, I mean, obviously the adventure already kicked off, but now that Splinter is captured, now the ninjas have their goal. Now it was to stop the Foot Clan, but now it's to stop the Foot Clan and save their father in a sense.
I am your father.
I mean, they say that line in this movie. Shredder, the villain, gets introduced, the most intimidating shot ever.
It is a good shot.
It was like a big warehouse, very pretty dark, doors open. It's just like a square of light, and you see this long shadow walk across.
It's good, though. It's like an upward shot down, though.
Yeah, what I love about this movie is there is no computer graphics anywhere.
And there's some really cool shots, too, like camera work.
Cool lighting effects, and just overall, like, if they, like, I was gonna say, if they made this movie today, which they did, it's all CGI, everything, pretty much.
You just can't get away from that anymore, though.
Apparently, because it's cheaper.
I feel like if they did do it today, though, could you do like a mix? I think a mix would probably be better, like a mix of CGI and practical costumes and stuff, kind of like what they did in Star Wars, like Force Awakens and stuff.
Yeah, that my brain went to Where the Wild Things Are when it was like people in big suits, but they CGI'd like the facial movements.
Yeah,
maybe something like that would benefit from like today's tech, because then you wouldn't see weird, creepy shots where they like open their mouth to laugh the turtles, but inside you see the actor's
mouth and eyes looking like an alien.
That's a thing of nightmares.
Shit. Yeah, so they're hanging out with old April, and her boss comes over, and it's a pretty good scene because they're all hiding, but her boss's son is there as well, and he tells her to let off the foot, but she kicks him out, and her son seems to have seen the turtle in the mirror, but he couldn't tell if it was actually them, and that's when Shredder comes in, and he's introduced in that intimidating shot, and he tells him, I'm your family. I am your father.
I am your father.
We need to find these turtles, these abominations, and stop them, kill them. And the boy, Danny tells Shredder that he knows where they are.
Got him.
The next scene goes back to the April's house. Raphael has a bit of a fight with Leo. He goes to the roof where he is attacked by the Foot Clan, and he's getting the shit kicked out of him because there's too many of them.
I like that scene, too.
It's good. It's a lot of, I mean, it's like a 15-minute action scene.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of fighting. Foot Clan's attacking Ralph.
Raph.
Ralph.
Ralph. Raph.
I'm in danger!
I was like, "Who's what? Ralph? Are you doing?"
Ralph Wiggum.
Ralph Wiggum. Yeah. What's he say?
I'm in danger.
No, just another Chief Wiggum line. There's so many. You'll never get those chocolate sandwiches.
Don't have to, Lou. Don't have to. Just enjoy the show, Lou. But They are attacking him. They throw him through the old ceiling, and they have to fight off the Foot Clan as a group. But Ralph sees he's knocked out.
Ralph.
He's Ralph for the rest of the movie.
Gonna crucify you real bad.
I did that on purpose.
I don't think you did.
I did.
Don't make me get the nunchucks.
What are you doing? Put that katana away.
I'm Leonardo.
This is great podcasting.
If you could see.
If you could see this, he pulled a katana off of his shelf and yelled, I'm Leonardo.
That's a visual right there.
That's a visual. Think about that.
Katana swords and there's a bottle of Jack Daniels up
Gentleman
there.
Jack, please.
Yes. You see, I gotta have a nice blend in my bedroom here. I got podcasting equipment. I got swords. I got booze. I got Funkos.
You got Connie Da Jacket.
Hey.
And Connie Da Boots.
I gotta show, like, yes, I'm an adult, but yes, I also fuck.
Yeah. Yes, I also go out on the weekends. I Casey Kira Jones jacket. The fuck out of this.
Oh, yeah. I got Jason.
But speaking of Casey Jones, he sees all this fighting going on from across the way and decides to come and help. So he steps in, fights them off. They make a breakaway, run for it. But April O'Neil's home is burnt to the ground, as well as her antique store. Yep. That she had, and they have to go out to her family's cabin, house in the woods,
farm thing,
where they kind of have to come to grips with, you know, possibly losing Splinter, knowing what they have to do next. Raph is all in the bathtub chilling.
he's just daming.
Yeah, he's knocked unconscious, just chilling. So they decide to kind of wait it out. But once he wakes up, they hear, given this new lease on life, brother.
Bring some food!
Yeah,
I like that line.
Yeah, they decide to try and communicate with Splinter, which they do successfully. Casey Jones and April O'Neil are starting to have this relationship built between them.
Like rough flirting. Like, yeah. I hate you kind of flirting.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's working.
It's like they're both Helga Pataki.
Kinda, yeah.
They both like each other, but they're both bullies.
They're both Sydney from...
Sydney?
Who? From Jimmy Neutron. I almost said James Isaac Neutron.
Jeez. Cindy Lou Who. It is Cindy something.
Yeah.
Fuck. Why would I?
I don't know.
I haven't thought of Carl.
Do they have last names?
Yeah, they do. Carl Weezer,
Sheen, Estevez.
I think so.
I'm pretty sure it is Sheen Estevez. Why are we on this topic?
I don't know.
I said Sydney. I didn't mean it.
I fight you.
Mrs. Fowl. Nick.
Nick.
Nick, cool stuff.
I will find it. I will find him.
And I will kill it.
Keep talking. I'm
yeah, so
there.
they do communicate with Splinter.
Cindy Vortex.
Fuck. They find out that he is alive, rather. And they decide to come back and fight. So they go home, where they are met by Danny, in their home, their former hideout, where he's been chilling. But he has a dream about both Shredder and Master Splinter. So he goes to free Master Splinter, basically, to ask him what he thinks he should do. And meanwhile, Shredder comes and finds out from Danny that the Turtles are alive. So he decides to mobilize his Foot Clan and go and fight the Turtles himself. So the Foot Clan attacks the Turtles. Danny and Casey Jones free Splinter. And basically, they just get into a real epic fight with Shredder. Rooftop battle. Shredder's beating them all real bad. The one thing I did notice is my minor critique. I'm like, why didn't they just all go at the same time?
They do, but they cut away when they do that.
Yeah.
It must have been some functionality issue, like having all of them in the same shot. I don't know.
Yeah, because they're like, let's take them together, and they all run, and then the next, like, four shots are one of them attacking at a time. Yeah.
What? My only critique of that, actually, you know what? Honestly, I've always kind of felt this way, too. All my issues with the movie are in that final scene. Like, I think the movie's perfectly fine up until that final fight with the big bad Shredder because of that. Like, it's always one-on-one fights. And
it's always him just tripping them.
He's just tripping them. Why isn't he trying to kill them? Like,
yeah.
He says he wants them dead, and this is his chance. He's just, like, tripping them and throwing them around.
He's toying with them.
Yeah, and then he, like, has the one, like, ready to be killed, and he's like, throw your weapons down. like, are you surrendering? Or are you gonna? And then he's like, "Ha ha! Now I will kill you!" Like you could kill
him all the entire time. Just stabbed him right away. Yeah. You're a bad villain. Yeah. You deserved what you get.
What is your goal?
Yeah. So they do throw their weapons away, and he's gonna kill Leo. But old Master Splinter comes up and had caught or grabbed Mikey's nunchucks, and he's about to just he has them hidden, and Shredder comes at him, and Master Splinter wraps his nunchucks around and throws him off the building, basically, but drops him to his doom into a garbage truck, and Casey Jones decides to commit third-degree murder and just turn that garbage truck on.
Was it fatal?
No, because he is back.
Oh, yeah, I guess
he does come back as, like, a bigger monster in the next one, in the second one.
In the second one, he just survives the incident, and then he gets exposed to ooze. Become Super Shredder.
Super Shredder.
Fucking awesome.
Sell toys.
See,
I want a Super Shredder Funko.
Whoa, be too big.
One
of the
be
big
like
guys.
One of those Target big ones. Yeah. but then the movie ends with probably their most famous line, which is "Cowabunga."
Cowabunga.
Which is funny because
I made the funny.
Yeah. Which is weird. It is funny though because that is like their primary line in like the cartoon and the comics and stuff. And then here we are.
I wonder where the term cowabunga derives from. What does it mean?
Does it matter?
It does.
It does. It does
what matter. Doesn't matter? Like, what if we're trying to figure Cindy Vortex is
life. Finds a way.
Cowabunga.
Dude.
Definition.
Definition. Urban Dictionary.
Used to express delight or satisfaction.
Okay.
I don't want to look up where it derives from. Okay. I'll do that on my end time.
The movie ends there, and it is a fun movie.
Next time I go out to eat, I'm having dinner, and the waitress or waiter comes up, is like, "How's your meal taste?" I'm like, "Cowabunga."
I'm gonna be like, "Banger."
What? Banger.
Is it bangerang or something?
Bangerang.
I thought you said banger.
Bangerang.
Oh, bangerang.
Banger.
Bang.
I did. Jesus. I did. I was gonna say a joke because I have said that recently. We were at
Bangerang.
Yeah, I can't remember. I was at Applebee's or something, and the waitress came up. Was like, "How's everything over here?" I was like, "Bangerang."
Like plus ultra.
Like, okay.
Okay. So, this movie is a great film. Really a lot of fun. If you're in like a 90s mood, this is going to treat that right up. Because it is a 90s film for sure.
It's a 90s film, but it feels like an 80s film.
Because it's right on the cusp.
It's right on the cusp, and it has like that gritty...
noir.
I guess.
Ninja noir. Let's remake this movie, like do a fan edit of it, just all in black and white.
I mean, that would be cool because that's what
like
the
Sin City esque.
That's what the original Ninja Turtles were. It was black and white, and all their headbands were the same. Just red, and it was just very violent. And people have been wanting like a rated R Ninja Turtles movie.
Let's do that
because that's what the old one was.
Yeah, let's do that.
Rated R. Did you know? Not too long ago, I think it was Donatello got fucking killed.
Whoa!
Yeah, in the comics. I think they brought him back, but yeah,
they resurrected
him. It was either Bebop or Rocksteady. It might have been both. They beat him to death with a sledgehammer.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm for it.
I'm saying. In nature, Ninja Turtles are meant to be kind of dark, and that's what this movie
they
is.
They want
like,
to sell toys.
It's a little dark, but like some
there's light
some humor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, comedy. I remember having a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles game that was awesome on the GameCube. Yeah. I forget what it was called, though.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
The video game.
No.
Foot Clan Returns or something? I don't know. It was really good. It was really fun because it was like four-player co-op. It was side-scroller four-player co-op. More like the one, the Turtles Out of Time, the old one. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I just remember I loved Michelangelo playing as him because he had I think it was like you had to like jump and then like press and hold B and you would like helicopter with your nunchucks and just kick people.
Physics.
Yeah. Yeah.
Were you disappointed at all that they didn't play the iconic Ninja Turtles theme song?
Not really. I think this movie's music stands on its own. The music in this film is really, really good. It's
what made it good?
Synthy. It's got that synthy.
80s synth.
It's fun music, and I mean its theme. I like its theme. It sticks. I mean, I haven't heard that theme in 10 years, maybe.
That one,
yeah, like the main theme, yeah. And it's I just as soon as it hit, I'm like, oh yeah, this is the theme. Mm-hmm. Like it just stuck with me.
Do you ever fuck with the old school like cartoon theme?
Like Turtles Count 'Em Off.
Not that. No? Not older than that. Mm. That's like 2003.
I like I'm that talking. One. That was when I grew up.
Teenage
with.
Mutant Ninja
oh, yeah.
Turtles.
Yeah.
Heroes in a Half Shell. Turtle Power. That's that fox. That rocks hard, man.
Yeah.
The cream.
It is the cream.
Turtles Count.
Let's screw it. We're just from now on WWE wrestlers. You got Donatello. You got Michelangelo, Raphael, and Leonardo.
Jimmy King.
Jimmy King is all of them.
Splinter. Yeah. The teacher.
You got Raphael's Macho Man Randy Savage. Yep.
I would have
Tajiri.
Tajiri as that
Funaki, number one announcer.
He would be the I can't remember his name. Master Tetsu, other villain.
Tetsu,
yeah, the other villain.
Go play.
Jimmy Wang Yang. Remember Jimmy Wang Yang in WWE.
Speaking of ones who fuck.
Yeah, if you haven't seen this movie before, I mean, it's worth a watch. Even roommate Matt stuck around for it and enjoyed it. It's
he
fun.
He doesn't like anything. So.
Yeah, it's a fun movie.
It's different, and I even mentioned, I said, before we started, I was like, this is one of my favorite superhero movies. And you're like,
consider this a superhero?
I would. He's much, like I said, he's much as a superhero as Batman, just Batman's more rich.
Yeah. These guys live in the sewer and buy pizza.
And they're ninjas. Batman's
How'd
a ninja.
How'd they get that money?
They stole it.
So I was wondering. I was like, how did they get this? I guess people drop money and shit.
Yeah, they drop money. They get rewarded. I don't know.
I don't think they get rewarded. Yeah. They said that was their first thing. Saving April and Neil was their first thing. How'd they get money?
They found it.
They found it.
They stole
they
it.
They didn't return it.
Yeah.
They're ninjas.
Yeah, the ninja. They stole it.
Yeah, so I guess, yeah, these ninjas fuck.
Hey, Pete's dude's got 30 seconds. And speaking of 30 seconds, we only have 30 seconds to do a factory go.
Oh, hell.
I'm kidding.
You ready to submit it to the factory?
da-da-da.
Okay. On this portion of the show, this is where we take the movie we just watched and submit it to the factory. That is where we discuss what this film would be like, this exact film, if it were remade today. Same storyline, same style, different director, different actors. Different actresses, all right? Everyone got that? Everything sound good? So in other words, this movie got a remake recently. But like I said on Twitter in our post, we're going to make a good remake. And I put it in all caps.
The garbage one.
Yeah. This film, you know, we even talked about it. You got the animatronics and the suits, but maybe a little bit of CGI to help with the faces and things like that, or motion capture a little bit or something. But we're going to make this movie good. So, with that being said, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, 1999, who would direct it if it came out today?
Who do you got there, Sonny Boy?
Sonny Boy. Quentin Tarantino, the most gruesome movie ever. Nah. So, for this one, I decided to go with two directors. I've used them in the past, but I think they would do a good job with this movie just because, I mean, even with our factory, we have so many characters that we want to look over, and I think they would be able to pull this off because I've seen them pull off fight scenes. I've seen them pull off dealing with a lot of characters, and that's the Russo brothers.
Oh.
The Avengers, Avengers Infinity War, Avengers Endgame, Captain America Civil War, and I think Winter Soldier.
Mm-hmm.
With that being said, like, look no further than those movies because they are good at comic book movies. They're good at having – I mean, I think out of those four, Winter Soldier has the least amount of superheroes, and that still has Black Widow. It has Winter Soldier. It has Captain. It has Nick Fury. It's got Falcon in it. It's got, like, Crossbones as a villain. It's got – I think General Ross is in it for a little bit at least. It's Martin Sheen. Think actually
Martin Sheen,
isn't he like the big bad
Robert Redford?
That's not Martin Sheen.
Not even close.
Yeah, I know. Bryson. But it's, I mean, that's what I'm saying. These two brothers have dealt with these large ensembles, and with that being said, on top of that, they've dealt with like large scale fight scenes. Which is one of the things we discussed, is that there is a lot of large scene fight scenes or large scale fight scenes in this movie. And that's one of our biggest problems, is that ending fight. And they're known to, like, I'm just waiting to see this final fight with Thanos. It's about to be
Thanos.
The anus. But hey, they just hate us because they Thanos.
Yeesh.
I digressed. Who you got?
I'm going with director. He's more known for producing, but the films he's directed have all been pretty excellent, if you ask me. And that's Matthew Vaughn.
I know this name.
He did the Kingsman movies, Kingsman Secret Service, and The Golden Circle. He did X-Men First Class.
That's considered to be a pretty good movie.
Yeah. Stardust, which I love Stardust. He did Layer Cake in 2004, which is considered by many to be the movie that convinced people that Daniel Craig could be a great James Bond. Layer Cake's pretty fucking awesome. And he directed one of my favorite comic book movies, kind of gritty. It's actually more in the idea of the Ninja Turtles movie I'd want, and that's Kick-Ass. He did Kick-Ass. You like Kick-Ass?
I do like Kick-Ass.
That's the correct answer, because everyone likes Kick-Ass.
Except Kick-Ass 2.
Well, Kick-Ass 2 is pretty good.
You ain't seen Bad Boys 2?
No, I haven't.
Okay.
Hey, guess what? You haven't either.
Nope, I haven't seen Bad Boys 1. I like that, because those are a lot. I mean, what you have right there. I one of the reasons I picked the Russos was because they had done comic book movies, and that's what? Kingsman comic books, you had X-Men, that's comic books. Kick-Ass was a graphic novel, I think, not just, it wasn't comic book series, at first at least. So he's also known for this. And his, maybe a little more lighthearted. Like, Kick-Ass is violent and lighthearted, too. It's fun, or funny. Same with Kingsman.
Yeah.
And then X-Men First Class, which I haven't seen, actually. I know a lot of people say it's good.
A lot of people say it's their favorite X-Men movie. Yeah. It's not for me. It's just not my style. For X-Men, like, I liked it all right, but I like my original boys in there.
Were you a flip for?
So be it, samurai. Right.
Heads, the Russo brothers. Tails, Matthew Vaughn. Vince Vaughn.
Vince Vaughn's kin.
Heads, the Russo brothers.
Russos.
All righty.
Jimmy and Jay. Russo! Dun,
dun, dun, all right, let's start our casting with old Casey Jones.
You're going to like mine.
All right, go ahead.
All right, so my Casey Jones isn't an actor per se. He's an athlete who has wanted to transition into film. He was a pro wrestler that transitioned to MMA, and that's CM Punk.
Oh.
He has campaigned that he wants to be Casey Jones someday. In an X-Men film that I changed to Spider-Man. Fuck. Ninja Turtle movie. He's got the look, especially when he grows his hair out. Mm-hmm. And he's got the attitude, that's for sure. And, just watch any CM Punk promo. You can see Casey Jones in there. He's got the action down. He's a professional wrestler most of his life. And he can handle some violence from his MMA background.
Honestly, I had, without even knowing, because I haven't seen the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movies, I had Stephen Amell as
Did
my
you?
Original pick. And then you said that tonight, I was like, fuck.
no wonder, but, I've seen that.
Yeah, I was like, oh, wait a minute. But I do like CM Punk in that role as well, because thinking of him with that long hair, and he's, I mean, if you've ever listened to, like, the Edge and Christian podcast, or if you've ever heard, like, Edge talk, or know who even Edge is, but he's a former WWE wrestler, Hall of Famer, and he has said multiple times on his show that wrestling is like entertainment boot camp. Like, it prepares you for, like, a life in entertainment, because you not only have to be in, like, good physical shape and be able to, like, choreograph fights and things like that, but also to be able to do these promos. And CM Punk, being with his pipe bomb promo and all his work after that, being like, most of it was all off the cuff. Like, he was just cutting promos, entertaining people, saying what was on his mind, but delivering it in a way that made it very entertaining. So I think CM Punk would be a perfect pick for that. Does that mean AJ Lee is our April O'Neil?
Could be.
But no, yeah, I'm good with CM Punk for that. April O'Neil.
I'm going with April O'Neil, the porn star.
Okay.
You watch porn, I know it. now I'm going with I've always felt, even before they did the remake with Megan Fox, I think that it should be Anna Kendrick.
Anna Kendrick.
Anna Kendrick of Twilight fame. Of
yuck. I mean, Pitch Perfect would probably be the bigger.
Pitch Perfect fame. And what she got nominated for an Oscar in Up in the Air? How about? What else is she in? Those Pitch Perfect movies. I'm like looking at her IMDb, but I see a lot of like just garbage movies, because like Trolls and The Accountant and crap like that. Just those. Everyone knows who Anna Kendrick is. Come on, she's in Twilight. She's Cinderella in Into the Woods. Cinderella in Into the Woods. She has the cop song. Damn it, she's in those Twilight movies. Hey, she's in The Company You Keep with Old Bryson. How about that? 50-50. And of course, she's in Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
Well, what's funny here, Guy, is my April O'Neil actually has been in movies with Anna Kendrick, two that I could note of, two of which they were really good friends, or one of which they were very good friends. And that is Aubrey Plaza. Parks and Rec was probably her biggest role, like big first start role. But she's been in like Criminal Minds episodes. Mike and Dave Need Wedding Dates is the movie that her and Anna Kendrick are good friends in that. She's in Dirty Grandpa. She's also in Scott Pilgrim versus the World. Yeah. She's going to be in Child's Play coming out soon. She's the mother. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking. But yeah, Aubrey Plaza. She's not hard to look at either. Neither is Anna Kendrick. She's a good actress as well. The only thing that throw me, I think, is she is known for maybe being more, like, I don't know, in the nicest way possible, like that resting bitch face going and stuff.
Yeah,
like, where Anna Kendrick is probably known more for being like bubbly and happy, and they're like almost opposites in a sense. And I think that Anna Kendrick might be a better fit in terms of being a news reporter.
She's an actress, damn it.
Yeah,
she
I mean, yeah, yeah.
No, Aubrey Plaza could do both.
You want to flip four?
If you're challenging me, I'll do it.
Challenge it. All right. Heads, we'll go with Anna Kendrick. Tails, Aubrey Plaza.
No, you're changing on me.
Tails?
Okay. That's also the first time, I think, ever where heads was mine and tails was yours.
I know. Aubrey Plaza is our April O'Neil. What about our Shredder?
You got a Shredder in mind? I have one.
It's kind of interesting because I want to do double up. I want to do my Shredder as like my person playing him, but
and
then
the
I like kind of want to do a voice with it because I kind of want James Earl Jones to be the voice. Wouldn't it fit? Like, I am your father.
So he'd just be Darth Vader,
basically. But Donnie Yen as my Shredder.
Oh.
Because Shredder's not like jacked or anything. And Donnie Yen, who played Chirrut, I forget his last name in that, but Chirrut in Rogue One, I Won with the Force, Force is with Me. He's awesome.
He's Ip Man, damn
it. Yeah, he's Ip Man. Yeah, he's a great martial artist. And I think he'd be able to. I mean, we've seen him. That's what Shredder uses at the end of this movie. He uses a staff. We've seen him use a cane in Rogue One. So I think Donnie Yen. But if I could get James Earl Jones to voice him. Yeah.
So mine, he's going to do both.
Okay.
And I'm going also with a great martial art actor, martial artist actor. That is Cary Tagawa.
Cary Elwes.
Cary Tagawa, he played Shang Tsung in 1995's Mortal Kombat.
He's always been Shang Tsung.
Always.
He doesn't die.
He's intimidating as fuck.
Yeah, he's eternal.
He's got the martial arts background, and he can have an intimidating voice.
Your soul is mine.
But imagine that, like, with your hands cuffed. Like,
your soul is mine.
Woo.
Scared myself.
Okay.
I pooped. In fear.
Great
enough. Ouch.
I like yours better, just for the pure fact that...
Because I cuffed him.
I think you'd be...
Money cannot buy.
Intimidating as fuck.
You've earned here tonight.
I'm for it. Cary
Tagawa.
Tagawa.
Tegua.
Tegua. I when you say names, I just spell them out the way I think they're probably spelled.
And then you read it back.
Yeah, I'm like, hold on.
These are
right.
Scribbles.
We'll go with that. Cary Elwes. All right, so we got the four turtles. We're just going to cast their voice actors. Mikey, Donatello, Raphael, or Leo. Who you want to start with?
Whoever you said first.
Mikey.
Mikey. You know, when in doubt, and as far as voice actors go, I'm going to cast voice actors. So I'm going to go Sonny Strait.
Sonny Strait
for Michelangelo. He's probably most famous for voicing Krillin in Dragon Ball Z and the whole Dragon Ball franchise in general. He's done a few specials as Lupin the Third, which I connect with very greatly. But you look up Sonny Strait on IMDb, he's done like 300 different projects. He's a very famous voice actor. And yeah, he's got that voice. Cowabunga!
I want to sell a movie, so I need star power behind the names.
Oh, you sell a movie.
Star power behind my name.
We got CM Punk.
So I went with another actor who's very famous today, one of the higher paid actors in Hollywood.
Corey Feldman.
Also has been in a movie or two movies now that I know of where he is a voice actor in it, and that is Chris Pratt.
Whoa.
As Mikey.
As Michelangelo.
Yeah. Think
not
like
Star-Lord.
Think of, what's his name from Lego Movie?
Wow, make a wish.
Yeah.
What is his name? Emmett.
Yeah.
Speaking
Emmett.
Of things that fuck.
Yeah. And Rex Dangerfest. That's
Rex
coming out on Blu-ray. That might
be first day by Lego
Rex
Movie
Dangerfest.
Rex Dangerfest. That's the hardest thing I've ever heard in my life.
Trans-Raptors. Yeah, so I went with Chris Pratt. Christopher Pratt.
All right. What do you want to do?
Flip me for
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I got to flip you.
Lost the coin.
How do you lose the coin?
I don't know.
It's in your pocket, precious?
No. Lost the coin.
It's right there on the Irish poetry book.
Irish poetry. Saves you again. All right. So heads, Chris Pratt. Tails,
Sonny Strait. Thank you, Mr. And.
Heads.
All right, you
got
your star
kept
power.
It the same. Chris Pratt. All right,
power.
What about your Donatello?
Donatello, okay, so I'm going old school here. I'm sticking in the realm of voice actors. I know some projects he does. I want to just look up his name because he's done a lot. His name's Rob Paulsen, one of the most famous voice actors of all times and still working today, but he was the voice of Donatello in the old school cartoon from the late 80s, early 90s. He's Pinky from Pinky and the Brain. He's in Animaniacs. He's Carl Weezer in Jimmy Neutron, but he's done Danny Phantom. He's also one of those voice actors that just kind of dips his toe into everything. So he's got like a billion voice credits, but those are some big ones he's done. Trying to think of other projects you might know him from. I'm trying to look it up, but my phone's being a shit. Yeah, it's not loading.
Who? What's his name again?
Too many voice credits. Rob Paulsen.
Rob Paulsen.
Like Paul Sen.
I put son.
Paulsen.
So for mine, I went with another Lego Movie voice actor. He plays the astronaut that's obsessed with spaceships, and that's Charlie Day as my Donatello.
Ew.
A little more high energy.
I
was thinking, though, see, when I was growing up, Donatello was more of like the scientist intellectual, at least in the cartoon that I watched.
And in the old one, too.
But in this movie, they're all pretty much the same, other than Raph. He is more like he's high strung and has that kind of anger issue to him. But yeah, Charlie Day is the voice of mine. I can't even like.
Can't.
He's
do that
always sunny in Philadelphia. Yeah, it's like higher energy. Yeah.
God.
Spaceships.
Yeah, there you go. That's him.
Yeah, Charlie Day. But I like casting Rob Paulsen because that's who I would be more used to as well. And, I mean, it's just a voice actor. So who cares? Donatello in this movie was Corey Feldman.
Yeah, that's
so,
great.
Now I'm good with Rob Paulsen. What about Leo. We'll save Ralph for last, because I feel like Ralph is probably, out of the four turtles, he's probably the, like, the focal point of this movie.
You feel so?
Even though, like, Leo is supposed to be, like, your leader or whatever.
Yeah, he's more, like, the quiet type Leonardo is, I guess, and Raphael. Like, it's like, he's the quiet type, Raphael's, like, the loud, angry type, and they clash.
Yeah.
So they have a little bit of a story arc, while Donatello and Michelangelo are kind of the comic relief, I guess. Yeah. Kitchen, or fight.
Fight.
Kitchen.
Kitchen.
I like that one. Pork rind.
Pork rind. Tide pod. Tide pod. Leo, though. Who you got for Leo?
Leo, I'm sticking voice actors. Going back to dipping my toe into anime, when I think great leaders, that voice.
I am here.
that's too
fear horrific. Not, citizens.
I'm going Sean Schimmel.
Ha!
Goku himself.
Ally to good, nightmare to you.
Sean Schimmel.
Yeah, Sean Schimmel. Goku, the voice of Goku. You almost don't need to say anything else. But actually, has he done a Ninja Turtle? I can't remember. I thought maybe he did. Sean Schimmel. Let's see if my phone wants to work. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Turtles in the house show. Turtle Power.
Yeah, he has done some. But who was he?
I don't know. Who was he?
I'm trying to figure it out.
Who was he?
While I'm looking this up, you tell me yours.
Jackie Chan. No.
As him.
Leonardo. I was, again, trying to figure out someone for my Leo to be this strong, silent type, and I actually really couldn't come up with anyone. Even though Leonardo was always my favorite, I kept coming back to the TMNT movie of 2007, which is, I don't know if you knew this or not, but I had originally James Arnold Taylor as mine. He was the voice of him in the TMNT movie, And do you remember 2007? It was like all animated TMNT movie.
Mm-mm. Oh yeah.
Yeah, he was in that. He was the voice of Leonardo in that. And then also, I'm trying to think of what else you might know him from. Other things that he voiced in terms of movies and stuff.
What's his name again?
James Arnold Taylor.
James Arnold Taylor. Yeah. Why does that sound so familiar? Oh, Sean Schimmel just does, like other character voices, like villains and stuff.
He was in Bionicle, the Bionicle movie.
Whoa. He is an American voice actor, I see. Oh, I recognize him. He's in Clone Wars and stuff.
Yeah, he's in Clone Wars, he's in Rebels, he's in a lot of, like, Billy and Mandy.
He does, like, Final Fantasy. He's Obi-Wan Kenobi, and the...
Yeah.
Did you say that?
Yeah.
I don't know. Listen to you.
And yeah, he's a more popular.
Hello there.
Yeah. So he's good. He's good, and that's just who I'm used to. What about you? Had Sean Schimmel. I like Sean Schimmel better because
Goku.
It's Goku. Yeah. So I'm fine with Goku.
I'm Goku.
Sean Schimmel. What about Raph? Raph.
Raph Attack. Oh shit. Who do you got?
So I wanted to go with a tough guy, someone who could have an anger problem, but also, you know, just have maybe that accent down. Now it's a different type of accent, but I think he could pull it off because he's done it in the past. And that's, hey, what's going on here? You got Mark Wahlberg.
It's the most expensive movie ever made. Chris Pratt.
Castus Raphael. Hey, I'm just saying, I don't want my supposed leader to get in the way.
You know what? You've given me so many. You can have Mark Wahlberg.
Mark Wahlberg.
Hey, what are you doing over there?
Yeah.
I'm going to go see a movie, okay?
I'm just... You got a problem with that?
Yeah.
Going to swim out of the ocean? Need you!
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's got the intensity down.
Desk pop.
Mark Wahlberg
Mark
is
Wahlberg as Raphael.
And as he writes that down, we're also writing our one-way trip to hell.
You tell you what, though. It's funny because originally... For Casey Jones, I had Chris Evans, as one of my turtles.
He would have been a good Leonardo.
But what's funny is that TMNT movie, like, as I looked it up to see who Leonardo was, Casey Jones was voiced by Chris Evans in that
was
movie.
Was he?
Yeah.
Huh.
And Sarah Michelle Gellar voiced O'Neil. April O'Neil.
Hmm. Mm-hmm.
So thought that was interesting. Also, in that movie had a pretty interesting cast. I think, was that the last other, like, that was the last animated film of like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Well, in theaters? Yeah.
Yeah, I think mm-hmm. so. It had an interesting cast because, like, I'm trying to think of, Nolan North was Raphael. If you know who Nolan North is.
Is he a porn star?
Nolan North? I don't think so.
There's some Peter North or something.
He's voiced Raphael since that. So any cartoons, anything like that, he's always Raphael. So I just knew him from that. And in terms of like movies, I think he might have voiced Batman in that Killing Joke movie. Or was that the Batman Killing Joke?
That was Kevin Conroy.
Kevin Conroy was in that. I thought so.
Please.
Yeah, sorry.
Go whip yourself.
I apologize.
Shame. Shame.
Our Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles remake, we got directed by the Russos. We got Casey Jones, played by CM Punk. April O'Neil, played by Aubrey Plaza. Shredder, played by Carrie Elwes.
Tagawa.
Tagawa. Leo as Sean Schimmel. Raph as Mark Wahlberg. Hey, how you doing? Donatello, played by Rob Paulsen. And Mikey, played by Chris Pratt.
Hey, Mikey, gotta go to the bathroom.
Yeah. All right, so that is the factory. Before we get going, you got a question?
Yeah, I got a question. Where the hell were you last week? You left us. He busy. Left us.
I was busy.
Oh, okay.
Things there.
So I did my story time episode last week, me and Patricia.
Yeah.
And I guess I didn't even give myself a question. I was asking myself questions all day.
Yeah.
Oh, there you have
it. You were having fun.
And so here we are. We're watching some Ninja Turtle action.
Yeah.
Superhero, in my mind. What superhero team would you like to see in the new Avengers movie if they were to surprisingly appear in Endgame to help battle Thanos?
So, like, you're saying, like, just, like, a new group? Or, like the Fantastic Four? Or are you saying, like, one new superhero?
A group.
See, I've never been a big Fantastic Four, like, fan. So, I would, like, say a no-go to them. I wouldn't say X-Men either, just because that would be too obvious. Because, really, all I would want is Hugh Jackman, Wolverine, making an appearance.
I wouldn't want James Marsden, Cyclops.
Yeah. But and Patrick Stewart. But I think if I had to choose in the Avengers, let's fuck it, bring DC over. Titans in there now.
Do everyone. I saw that's a fantasy question. Any group
from history.
Any superhero group.
I was like, any group from history. AC/DC. Get them in there. The Beatles. Any superhero group. See, like, I'm trying to think of, like, the groups that are in it. You got the Avengers, the main group, but then after that, like, I keep thinking DC groups for some reason.
You can.
I mean,
they're fighting Thanos.
Fight Justice League in there.
You want the whole Justice League.
Whole Justice League. Now, I'd probably say I haven't even watched any of the Marvel shows, but it seems like everyone wants it to happen, and that would be the Defenders. Like, get the Defenders in there.
Now, who's in the Defenders?
Iron Fist, Punisher. Nah, I guess Punisher technically, but Daredevil, Luke Cage, and Jonesy Poo.
Jessica Jones.
What about you?
I'm gonna go with
the crew from Alien.
What? The Justice Friends.
The Justice Friends.
Do you remember them?
Batman and Robin.
No. Justice Friends.
They had the two that could turn into buckets and shit.
Listen, now, that's Super Friends. Justice Friends were like a short in some Dexter's Laboratory episodes. He had Major Glory, Val Hallen, and the infragnable Krunk.
Krunk.
Krunk. Yes.
Whoa.
Major Victory. Yes. Remember them?
I do.
They
I
just
do
like
now.
Had an apartment. It was like a sitcom.
Superman.
And sometimes
Wonder Woman.
Sometimes Monkey was there. Remember Monkey?
I do remember Monkey.
Mm-hmm.
Batman and Robin. And Meg.
The super friends.
Super friends.
There's two fucks who turned into buckets.
Yeah. I thought there was the two that could change into
things.
The
Wonder Twins.
The Wonder
and
Twins.
And they had a monkey too.
They would change into things. Buckets. Buckets and sponges.
That's all. That's all they could do.
I want Captain Magma. What's the Quickster. Miss Appear.
What was that group called? Mermaid Man and Barnacle Boy.
Mermaid Man, Barnacle Boy, and, oh, man.
I can't remember.
I'm trying to think of what Patrick's name was.
He could, like, stretch and stuff.
Yeah. Super Friends. SpongeBob. And SpongeBob.
SpongeBob, SpongeBob.
They were Mermaid Man and Barnacle Boy. That was the fifth episode that Mermaid Man and Barnacle Boy were in.
Evil.
The International Justice League of Super Acquaintances.
Yes. Epic.
Fantastic.
Why was
the Quickster, Captain Magma, the Elastic Waistband, Miss Appear. Every villain is lemons.
Why wasn't that the concept of Sponge Out of Water?
I don't know. Should have been.
That superheroes.
Movie's garbage.
Yeah. And every villain is
Man
lemons.
Ray does the snap.
Yeah, that would have been it.
That would have been great.
Shit. The dirty bubble.
Mr. Krabs, I don't feel so good. You'll be okay, lad.
The elastic waistband.
The elastic waistband. Krakatoa.
Do you remember the show Kablam on Nickelodeon?
Kablam, yeah.
And they had a short called Action League Now. It was like toys. I can't remember any of those characters' names, but there's like a naked He-Man and like a melted dude and the chief who was always screaming and like a Wonder Woman with like crazy hair.
Can I change? Can I change mine up and say Small Soldiers?
A team to defeat Thanos.
All the small soldiers, yes. Toys.
Yes. If you can name...
I want the bad guys on my side.
If you can name Tommy Lee Jones' character.
Doesn't he play the bad guy?
Yeah.
Isn't it just like Sarge? Lieutenant Sarge?
Lieutenant Sarge Colonel. No, it's...
Bad man.
Major Chip Hazard.
Chip Hazard.
That will be a movie factory someday.
Oh, my.
The small soldiers.
We have to cast all the small soldiers. I can't even remember, like, any of the like their names. Igor?
Ocula.
Ocula.
That was on the Gorgonites, the good guys.
Yeah.
Who was that? Archer, who's the main dude. That's about it. Uh-huh. That's all I can remember. Ocula. And
Kirsten Dunst.
Yeah, Kirsten Dunst. Kirsten, sorry.
All righty, well, that is the show, everyone. Hope you enjoyed it. You can always find or check out our other podcasts wherever you find your podcasting sites, be it Audioboom, Google Play, iTunes Radio, Stitcher Radio, Spotify, wherever you find those podcasts, we are there. Be sure to check out our other episodes. We got a movie and genre for everyone. You can find us on Twitter at the Bros Movie Factory. That's where we'll post when our new episodes are coming out. We'll post, you know, polls sometimes, tell you clips of the episode, memes that Gus makes, etc. We'll also be retweeting a lot of great podcasts. Be sure to check those out as well. You can also follow us on Facebook.
Get on Facebook, search the Brothers Movie Factory, give us a like, check out what we got going on, tell you weekly what movies we're watching, posts for where the links are, as well as nice little meme poos that I like to make. Like them, share them, do your thing, tune in, check us out.
Alrighty, and with that being said, that is the show, everyone. Hope you enjoyed it. Be sure to keep listening.
As a wise man once said, forgiveness is divine, but never pay full price for late pizza.
And as we say, brothers?
Brothers.
Brothers! Bone Saw is ready!
The Quickster!